Behind the Bite podcast is part of a network of podcasts that are good for the world. Check out podcasts like the Full of Shit podcast, After the First Marriage podcast, and Eating Recovery Academy over at practiceofthepractice.com/network. Welcome to Behind the Bite podcast. This podcast is about the real life struggles women face with food, body image, and weight. We're here to help heal, inspire, and create better, healthier lives. Welcome. Well, hello, everyone. There are just some topics that I feel we cannot talk about enough, and one of those is clothes. And I say this because it is something that I hear people not only in my practice talk about, but outside of my practice talk about. And they're struggling with it, and they're talking about it quite frequently. So I really wanted to have a podcast talking more about this. When I was thinking about this, I said, gosh, you know what? It makes sense. We get dressed each and every day and we put something on. Clothing really can be one of the most difficult and stressful parts for people who have an eating disorder or who are struggling with body image issues. I cannot tell you how often I hear such painful stories, things like how long it takes someone just to get out of the house because of the difficulties they face trying to just find something to wear. You know, they'll try on almost everything in their wardrobe, and it can sometimes take, you know, half an hour, even longer. And it's really stressful. You know, the size of clothes and whatever meaning people give to that is so often something that I hear people struggling with. It is so hard to get people to believe that clothes are supposed to fit your body, not the other way around. Look, there are so many layers to this, which is why I am so thrilled to have Susan Padron on the show today to delve into a discussion about all of this and talk about the amazing work that she does to help people who are struggling with their bodies and clothes. She's an intuitive personal stylist, an award-winning author, podcast host, and has been featured in InStyle and many publications accessible all over the world. She works with her clients to find a personal style that is a true reflection of who they are as a unique individual, while simultaneously helping them to navigate through their limiting beliefs. So rather than focusing on fashion trends and body types, Susan curates a style for her clients that is accessible, versatile, all while dressing their soul. She's a tattooed queer mom who is always ready to give you the gentle nudge or emotional hug, whichever you need, so that you can give yourself the permission to be you. Susan lives in New Jersey with her husband, their son, and their quote-unquote zoo of adorable animals. All right. Well, Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us something that's not in the short little intro I just did. Like, tell us a little bit about you, how you got here, like the stuff that's not in that little blurb.
Yeah, so the stuff that's not in the little blurb about me is that, you know, I really came into the work that I do through my own personal journey, you know, and going through it myself and having to come to terms with how myself as an individual evolved and grew and how my body has changed, you know, over the years as well. And now I'm able to help all kinds of people with this, the same kind of journey. Obviously, everyone's journey is unique and different, but I am honored to be able to be part of that process for them and that self-discovery and getting them really comfortable with playing with their self-expression with clothes.
You know, it's really interesting when you said your own journey, because I think for so many people, at least that I work with, clothes is one of these very triggering, almost very stressful topics. And oh, yes. Especially with eating disorders, the body's shifting, changing. And this is a really great conversation I think we're going to have, especially for anyone listening, kind of going, yeah. How do you make peace with finding clothes on the rack, not feeling that pressure to fit your body into the clothes versus like the other way around? I'm just curious about your own journey through that.
Yeah, of course. So when I was growing up, I was always really small, petite. I'm still only 5'2", so I'm short. Mm-hmm. But growing up, I was always really just naturally thin. And I didn't realize how much my size became part of my identity until I gave birth to my son. And, you know, I started getting older and dealt with some various health issues and surgeries and everything. And my body really evolved. And I found that I kept wanting to get back to that size because I associated that size with my own identity. And it wasn't until I was able to just take that step back and say, you know, first off, my size has nothing to do with my self-worth. And if I'm constantly trying to focus on getting back to something that I was, I'll never be present in my own body and be able to celebrate the moments that I'm living right now, because life is happening right now. Mm-hmm. And if we're always coming back to, oh, well, I'll go shopping when I'm a smaller size, or I'm going to hold on to these clothes because they're going to be my motivation to get smaller, because that's always what it is, right? It's always wanting to be smaller, which is so much deeper than just, you know, our the way that we get caught up in diet culture. It's also with women being encouraged to be smaller in how we show up, not necessarily just our bodies, but, you know, not being too much, not being too loud, not, you know, speaking our minds fully. And all of that comes back to size. And as soon as I started to just give myself that permission to dress my body in a way that felt good, mm-hmm. in the clothes that fit my body now, I realized just how freeing it was. Mm-hmm. And I stopped really focusing so much on what size I wanted to be. And I was choosing clothes that fit really well and just felt good. Because sizing, really, when we're looking at it, it's so wild, right? Mm-hmm. Like most of my clients, most women especially, they range three sizes, right? We have the size that we typically are. Then we occasionally have to go up a size from that and occasionally down a size. Mm-hmm. And that's because from brand to brand, even within the same brand, there is so much variation that makes sizing really challenging. And instead of saying, oh my gosh, well, if only I could fit into that size, if we change that narrative for ourselves and say, oh, well, this doesn't feel good on my body, so I need to either go up or down, it just creates this sense of ease and comfort that can really be a game changer. And I know that definitely was for me. And now I'm able to do that for my clients as well, where we just talk about it more in like a matter of fact way, rather than, you know, talking about it with it being so emotionally charged, like it can easily become.
Well, I think you're totally right on. And I've shared in past podcasts, I had this experience during the pandemic where you had to buy clothes online. You couldn't go to stores. And I bought the same brand of shorts in three different colors, same brand, same size. And only one of them actually fit. One was too big, one was too small, and one fit. And I'm like, wait a minute, these are the same shorts, the same style, because it was buy one, get two free.
Yeah.
And I was like, baffled me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I was in my eating disorder days, this would have absolutely triggered me.
Yeah.
And so to your point, this vanity sizing, right? This, some brands actually make this sizes, I think, smaller. Mm-hmm. And other brands, you go like to the next store and it could be a completely different size, but it fits. It, I think it drives people to a point where they're very confused, and it does wreak on their emotions. If you go shopping, it can really be hard.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, it's one thing to go from store to store, like you're saying, and be able to know that, okay, I can get this size here and here and here. Done. But when you're like, okay, well, I'm this size in this store. And then when I walk to the next store, I have to look for a different size. And I walk to this store, I have to look for a different size. It can be so frustrating and overwhelming. But instead, what I like to recommend is just being open, you know, and looking at the sizing too, which I know can be tricky for, you know, people with disordered eating, with body dysmorphia too, to look at something on a hanger and be able to see their own body size and how it relates. Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking at fabrics, looking at what kind of stretch they have, the cuts and all of those things to help to kind of determine what's going to work for them. And like I was saying before, instead of getting caught up in the sizing, just being like, okay, this feels like a little big. I just need to go down a size. Mm-hmm. And kind of removing the numbers associated with the sizing too, which is something that, you know, I often do with my clients, like removing the specifics around it. And instead just being like, we're going to go up, we're going to go down. Because that tends to just relieve a lot of that extra pressure that sizing can put upon us. And when we think, okay, I just need to go up, I need to go down, you're not caught up in the numbers, it makes it a lot easier.
So I'm actually curious, as you were talking, do you actually tell the people you're working with what size it is, or you just go, oh, that one's okay, we're going to go up, I'm going to go down? Or do you just say, let's try it, you know, in a different size? Because I, you know, like the number on the scale has a big impact on people. It's that external number. And I've often wondered, what if we just cut the size out of the pants or the, you know, the clothes, and didn't tell people what the size was and just said, how does this fit you? And they didn't know. I'm just wondering your thoughts on that.
Yes. So when I work with clients in person, I do work with clients virtually as well. But when we work in person together, I don't speak to them about sizes. And I find that it helps so much with their healing journey with trying on clothes and wearing clothes, because we, exactly like you explained, we talk about, you know, I hand them the clothes, so they don't even have a minute to, like, you know, check the tag. They don't, you know, take a look at any of that. They just put it on. Mm-hmm. And their first thoughts get to be, how do I feel in this? How does this make me feel? How do I feel about it on my body? You know, do I like it? Do I like the way that it fits? And their size doesn't even play a part in it. Mm-hmm. And if something isn't the right size because they're uncomfortable in certain parts of it, you know, then we just talk about, okay, well, is this something that we need to get tailored or altered? Is this something where we need to exchange it for a different size? Or is it just not the right shirt for us, you know, because I always like to remind my clients, we have better options. You always have better options. And that doesn't mean that we go on this like never ending goose chase to try to find like the perfect things, but that reassurance of you have better options lets you know that it's not about you. It's not about your body. It's about the fact that, you know, the clothes can be better for you. And that you are capable of finding clothes that feel amazing, regardless of size, regardless of age, any of that. It's all there. We just need to find it. And I always do. So it's never something that I'm worried about.
So I can imagine people listening who will say, well, no, I have a larger body. They don't have clothes for me. What do you say to that?
It's tough, right? Because a lot of brands, either they have a limited number of inclusive sizing, right? They consider themselves inclusive, but it's only so far, you know, or they don't include a plus size line at all. It's difficult because there is so much controversy, and it's unnecessary with the plus size, with plus size brands and plus size fashion. And it can be really difficult because sometimes a lot of brands that do carry inclusive sizing are not sustainable brands. They don't have necessarily the best ethics behind how they treat their employees and the people that are creating their clothes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would absolutely agree with, you know, the members of your audience that are frustrated being in the plus size community with being able to find options that work for them. They are there. You know, the clothing does exist. Unfortunately, the majority of it is online. The opportunities for finding plus size clothing in store are incredibly limited, and it's unacceptable. I mean, brands need to do better, just period. They need to do better.
Well, even just as you said that, like, differentiating between like plus size and not plus size, just even that, why do they do that? Why do they have to have a separate section? It doesn't even make sense to me.
I agree with you completely because, I mean, when we look at men's clothing, I mean, occasionally they'll have like a big and tall section, but really men's clothing is so much more size inclusive than women's. And it's absurd and it's frustrating and it's unnecessary. I mean, there are so many ridiculous arguments that brands have come out with that have said, it's more expensive to create plus size clothing, or there isn't the market for it. There isn't the market for it. I can't even handle that as a responsible reaction to why they're not making plus size clothing, because the average size of most women, especially in the United States, is a 12 and up. Like it's even closer to like a 14 and 16 now. And in most brands, plus size clothing starts at like that 14, 16 mark. Sometimes there are some plus size brands that start even lower, but and some that start right at that 16. But still, it's like, why? Why does it need to be separate? Why can't it be much more inclusive? And why can't plus size women have more options? There aren't really any acceptable responses to that, in my opinion, and all of the reasons that I've heard. And it's even frustrating for me as a personal stylist because I have a lot of plus size clients and I hear their concerns and I hear their frustrations. And, thankfully they have a resource like myself where I can help them find a lot more options and introduce them to different brands that might not be on their radar. But the truth of it is, there should be the same kind of options for them. And it they shouldn't be treated any differently.
No, I totally agree with you, and I hope people listening, please message me your frustrations, message me your thoughts on this.
Yes.
I'd love to hear them. Even experiences people have had, because I know they're numerous and many. And even for people, just in general, I think the images we have out there in social media, the models, they don't have the bodies that most women have. And so the clothing that we're seeing look a certain way on women. And so I think, at least my experience as well, going into, department stores or trying on clothes, thinking, how come I don't look the same in those clothes? And going, I want to wear these clothes that look so nice and cute and attractive on these people. Like you look at an ad and go, that looks like a really pretty dress. And then you get it. I've had this experience, like getting it in the mail or something to try and going, that doesn't look the same dress. Like, because the body shape and size of the people they're having on social media, the brands at least, they're very different body types than the majority of women, I think.
Yes, definitely. And I think they tend to choose from a younger demographic of models too. And, as we know, like our bodies change for the most part. Most of us, our bodies change as we age. And they change after we give birth, if we are parents. There is that natural evolution that occurs that a model in her early 20s most likely hasn't experienced yet. And I think it's so refreshing when I come across pages on social media or accounts on social media who are women of all kinds of sizes, all different sizes, specifically larger sizes, that are showing what they feel comfortable wearing. And it might not necessarily be what we would expect or associate of a woman of like that size or with that kind of body to wear. But again, it's freeing and it's showing all of us that, okay, it's okay if we don't look like the model on the website in that dress. We look like ourselves in that dress. And as long as we like that, being able to separate what our expectations are based on what we're seeing on the models on the various websites that we're shopping and what we're seeing in the mirror when we're looking at our own bodies, it always has to come back to, do I like this? Do I like this for me? Does this feel like me? Do I feel good in it? And if those answers are yes, nothing else matters. Like you're good. You feel good, you go for it. But if if it doesn't feel good on you, you know, if it is that like, oh, well, I was expecting it to look like this on the model and I actually don't really like how this is fitting me because my proportions are different, you know, that's a different mindset. But I want to just encourage all of us to, when we're trying something on, to first ask, like, how do I feel about this? You know, do I like this? Does this feel like me? Do I feel good in it?
Mm-hmm.
And those can be tough questions to answer, but they're important ones, especially when you're on your style journey. Like I feel so many of us are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, earlier you had brought up something really important too, which is people holding on to clothes that they had worn previously. Mm-hmm. I hear this a lot. People saying like, oh, if my body changes and I don't fit into those anymore, I feel like a failure. Like I failed if I don't fit into them anymore. So it's right. Almost like I need to get back into them to feel like, you know, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing something wrong. I failed. I got to get back on, quote unquote, back on track.
Right.
And so there's this hesitancy, especially to not keep those clothes if they were expensive or they don't have money to buy a new wardrobe. But I'm wondering how you talk to people you work with about keeping those clothes and what they represent to them.
Yeah, of course. So there are a few different ways that I approach this with my clients. The short version is if you have clothes that are a size larger or smaller, like one size in either direction, that you feel like your body tends to fluctuate sometimes, I think they're absolutely worth holding on to. Mm-hmm. Because especially if you have that fear, that anxiety around parting with them, you know, because you have a history of just your body size fluctuating, it's not a bad thing to hold on to some of those. But when we have pieces of clothing that are more than one size in either direction, mm-hmm. that's where it can get a little tricky. And that's where I think it can really negatively impact our mental health. Because we can be concerned that if they're clothes that are real, you know, big, that, you know, we used to fit into, now we're a smaller size, we have that like looming over our head, like, oh, well, we can't get back to that place again, because if we do, it's going to mean X, Y, Z. Or the clothes that are smaller, we, again, like how I was, speaking from my own experience, having a sense of self-worth attached to that, or having like your previous identity and holding on to that as, you know, a quote unquote goal, which we know is not a healthy approach to our mental health. But with keeping clothes that are, you know, only one size larger or one size smaller than what we are comfortably wearing right now, that also makes it really easy to do alterations too. So connecting with a tailor mm-hmm. is going to be way more cost effective than buying a new wardrobe. So, you know, if you do feel like you want to hold on to those clothes for whatever your reason is, you can always get them altered. And that's an easy little fix, you know, where they take it in a little bit, they let it out a little bit, you know, just like you would get something hemmed if it was too long, you know, which we don't associate length of your pants as anything relating to your size. We just understand I am 5'2". Like I am a shorter person. Thus, most of my pants need to be hemmed. You know, that's never been something that I've that's impacted my confidence or, you know, my mental health. Yet we have all of this weight attached to sizing and what fits and what doesn't when it's in regard to other parts of our bodies. So it can be complicated for sure. It can be tough. I definitely don't recommend people holding on to clothes and using them as some sort of goal to attain. I think that can be really negatively impacting on our day to day. Because when we think about it, if you have that, say it's a dress, right? We have a dress hanging in our closet that we wore years ago and we were that size. And we remember looking and feeling so good in that dress. In reality, it's not about the size of the dress, it's about how we felt in it. And we can easily recreate that with another outfit. But that's beside the point right now. So we have that dress hanging in our closet and it's this significantly smaller size. It's our quote unquote goal dress. You're seeing that dress in your closet every single day that you're getting dressed. Every single day when you're pulling clothes from your closet, you're walking by that dress. And whether you're fully aware of it or not, that dress is signaling to you, to your brain, to your body, that you don't feel like your body is good enough right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that you constantly should be working on making changes. And to do that to yourself every single day, you know, why? Why? Why would you want to self-harm in that way when you could just as easily find a different dress? I know people might be thinking, oh, it's not that easy, you know, but it can be. And if the alternative is bombarding yourself with that negativity every day, mm-hmm. I don't know. I would choose finding another dress.
I'm with you. I say it's like your eating disorder living in your closet, just taunting you, right? It's exactly. Very triggering. But I do think, you know, I appreciate that you're bringing this up because I do think more discussion needs to be had about it's not you that's failed, but your body shifting and changing. There are so many reasons why, like you said, pregnancy,
yes,
hormonal changes, all sorts of things. It's not because you did something wrong,
right?
Or you're not doing something right. And I think that's the thing. It's just the blame game. Like, like, oh, I don't fit into that anymore because whatever. And it's always the arrows pointing back to yourself.
Right. Absolutely. And I know for me, it's what was a big like moment of clarity for myself mm-hmm. was when I was reflecting on my body and how it is now. And I was looking at old pictures of myself at like from various points in my life
mm-hmm.
and being real with myself and acknowledging the fact that there were so many times in my life where I felt unhappy with my body and unhappy with what size I was when at that point in like, you know, fast forward to the present, I was looking back being, you know, like, oh, I wish I could be that size again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really fully realized that it had nothing to do with size. It had nothing to do with my body. It had everything to do with how I felt about myself
mm-hmm.
and trying to rediscover who I am now and really embracing that and welcoming that instead mm-hmm. of saying, oh, I wish that I was that size again, or I wish I was that size again, you know, going back another 5 years, but then remembering like, you know, the way that that shirt fit at the time, I was self-conscious because of, you know, all these silly reasons. And we're always so hard on ourselves. And if I can help, you know, the people that are listening or, you know, whoever I'm working with, my clients, to just be a little bit kinder to themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will do this work for the rest of my time on this planet.
Well, I love too that, you know, you're a stylist, but you have this part of you that works with the emotional component of what people are going through. It's not just, okay, let's just find clothes that look good on you or, mm-hmm. you know, find your wardrobe. It's you really get it. You really understand this emotional journey that people are going on and what the experience is for people. And I think that's very unique about you. A lot of people, I don't think, get that. It can be extremely triggering. I know that I get phone calls sometimes. People will try on clothes and they, oh my gosh, the jeans that, you know, fit last week don't, or, you know, or I even think sometimes it's detrimental to have the clothes that are one size smaller because it can be that dicey, like, line between, oh, they fit today,
mm-hmm.
right? Or that means I'm virtuous today. I'm doing something right. And then, oh gosh, they don't fit next week. What am I doing wrong? And so I almost encourage, like, just have what fits right now.
Oh, for sure. That's absolutely the goal. I mean, in the best of circumstances, mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed in the work that I do, I have some clients who are like ready to purge it all, like in terms of their closet. You know, when we first start, they're ready to get rid of all of it, you mm-hmm. know, and start fresh. Although I never let them get rid of all of it because, I mean, there is going to be like a little bit of a delay between when we go through their closet and when they get new clothes. I never want to leave someone high and dry. But I do have some clients that are like, yes, let's start fresh, let's dive in. And others where they do have more of an emotional attachment to their clothes. And it can be very anxiety inducing. So those are those situations where I have to be a lot more gentle and kind of have awareness around what they're going through and be able to support them and hold space for them while they're going through this process with me. Because you're absolutely right. It is so much more than just clothes in the work that I do with my clients. Like it's, yes, I'm a personal stylist, absolutely. But I am very different from a regular personal stylist because there has to be healing that goes into the journey, whether it's about your body, whether it's about how you show up as an individual, but there's always a healing component behind it in order for your personal style and your ability to shop on your own to be long lasting and to be something that you can do on your own eventually. You know, I would love to have my clients forever. I mean, I have clients that I've worked with consistently for years and others where I've worked with them for a few months and then they fly and they leave the nest and I support them too. Like my goal is not for you to work with me forever. Although, you know, if that's what you want to do, amazing. But my goal is for you to be able to go through this healing journey, to be able to really feel comfortable with who you are and be able to connect that to the clothes that you put on your body so that, you know, you can continue to show up even as you evolve and as you change and know what that feels like and looks like for you.
Well, it's fantastic. I love that. Just a couple more things that especially as we kind of going into the warmer months, there's a couple of things that go through my mind that often come up, at least with the people I work with, is I call it like the biggest hurdles. I get a lot of people who wear the Lululemon pants only. Mm-hmm. That's all they're comfortable with, like wearing jeans or something with zippers or buttons is really triggering. It's like so hard for people to go from more of the waistband pants all the time to like I said, zippers, buttons, things like that. Especially there's like the sensitive area around the stomach. It's like,
oh yeah.
Do you find people really struggle like transitioning into different kinds of clothes that maybe feel heavier on their bodies or make them more aware of when they've eaten or anything like that?
Yeah, I definitely find that a lot of my clients, when we start working together, many of them do live in leggings of some kind or like workout pants of some kind and, you know, a top that makes them feel comfortable because that feels like their safe space, right? Leggings or athleisure feels safe to them. Mm-hmm. And jeans, or I have a friend who does alterations. We joke, we call jeans and things like that hard pants. Mm-hmm. and you know, when you have to transition to hard pants, it can be tough, right? Because I think a lot of us, especially those of us that grew up in the, you know, 80s, 90s, when we had to wear jeans, they were jeans that had no stretch, no give, none of that. They were very, very hard. Mm-hmm. You were 100% aware of the fact that you were wearing jeans because of how they felt on your body. You know, mm-hmm. they don't have the same kind of give, the same kind of movement that a workout pant does. But my favorite way around that is there's a short list of brands of jeans that I love for my clients that are a bit more size inclusive, that also have a lot more stretch to them without stretching out by the end of the day, right? Because I know that's a big problem too, where we put on a pair of jeans and then by the end of the day, we're like hiking them up all the time mm-hmm. because they've stretched out too much. But having brands that have that give to them, that flexibility where you can sit in them without feeling mm-hmm. that pressure around your stomach, it is life-changing. Like it truly is. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it's kind of funny to think like a pair of jeans can be life-changing, but for real, it is. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, that's not something that even just the thought of having a button and a zipper, you know, around your stomach feels really, you know, triggering or just something that you're not ready for, then I slowly ease my clients in by doing a pair a little bit more of like an elevated jogger, you know, something that's just like one step or like, you know, a couple toes outside of the comfort zone that they've been living in, so that they can feel like, again, it's something that they can do, that they can achieve, rather than just shoving them outside of their comfort zone, be like, oh, well, you hired a stylist, ready, set, go. Like, I mean, I'm sure you know even way better than I do about when you give somebody a big shove outside their comfort zone, like that's not sustainable. That's not going to help them at all with their journey. You know, they really need to do it in a way that feels aligned for them, that feels like they're still being supported and held while doing the work, which, you know, isn't always easy.
And then people are like, what are those jeans? What are the brands?
Yes, I would be happy to share all that info. Just, you know, send me a message. I'll send you all the links.
Awesome. And similarly, I know a very triggering time is when it comes to swimsuit season, people showing arms, maybe wearing shorts, even skirts, dresses, things like that. How do you handle when people are really stressed out saying, I don't want to show my arms, but you know, maybe even saying, I just want to cover myself and like wear big baggy clothes that feels much more comfortable to me. But that's something that really isn't flattering to their body, or just they want to hide. How do you help people kind of get over that hurdle?
Yeah, I have to say whenever I have clients that don't want to show their arms, I feel like that's just heartbreaking for me. Like that's one of those spots that just, it hits hard. Because it's, you know, I'm like at this point, I don't want to say I'm desensitized to when women especially tell me that, you know, they're self-conscious about their stomach or, you know, their midsection, but like, it's your arms, like your arms. I mean, your stomach does so much for you too, but I don't know. Anyway, sorry, that's a tangent. To answer your question though, you know, with wanting to be covered, even in the warmer months, you know, when we're going bathing suit shopping, you know, I like to kind of have a compromise, right? When we're trying on bathing suits, you know, they do make swim shirts that, you know, will cover your arms, you know, just like they have for little kids now. They have them for adults too, with the UV protection and all of that. But I really like to kind of challenge my clients to find or try bathing suits that provide them with the kind of coverage and support that they're looking for, but we're still maybe doing like one thing that's outside their comfort zone. And usually that one thing is showing off their arms. Mm-hmm. But the way that we kind of have a compromise around that is then I find, you know, a cover up for them. You know, maybe it's something that's really lightweight or even sheer. And just being able to throw that on over a bathing suit so that they can go, you know, go to the pool with their kids, or they can go on their vacation by themselves and just feel really good. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so happy to be able to make that work. And finding the right kind of style of bathing suit that has the right kind of material that provides a kind of support where we want it, you know, whether it's, you know, the kind of support in the chest or a support through your stomach so that you almost feel like you're wearing shapewear, but it's a bathing suit. It's the best kind of compromise that I've been able to find for them. And, you know, wearing baggy clothes, especially in warmer months, just isn't always comfortable. And you have to think about like, what are you willing to give up because of the issues that you have around your body and going outside in clothes? And how much of your life are you willing to sacrifice because of how you feel? Mm-hmm. And so I'm always trying to, you know, find those pieces where they, you know, even if it's just like throwing a jacket on over a shorter dress, you know, so that they have that coverage that they're looking for, but being able to take it off if they want to, you know, and letting them explore that with me in a safe space rather than having to shop on their own, you know, going into a store or shopping online and then just getting frustrated when they're trying everything on at home. It's a way where we can talk through it. We can talk through what's coming up. And again, like if nothing's working, they have better options and we find them.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
You do amazing work. Like I said, I just love that you get it.
Thank you.
And I know you've brought up lots of things that I'm sure listeners are relating to. I have a feeling you're going to get a lot of messages.
I can't wait. I'm excited for them.
So people do want to message you. They want to find you, work with you. How can they do that?
Absolutely. So I'm definitely the most active on Instagram. Okay. My handle on Instagram is Susan_Padrone_stylist. But I would also love to offer a discount on my style consult call, which is a one-on-one call with me, where your listeners can sign up through a link that I'm sure we'll share in the show notes. Mm-hmm. That we can talk through their style troubles that they're having right now. We can talk through the clothes that they have in their closet. And what I'll do after that is I'll send them about like 15 different recommendations that are specific to them for their unique sense of self, their unique style. And we can talk through, I always say what sizes that they should purchase, if we're working together virtually and, trying to unpack the attachment associated with it. But I find that with my virtual clients, when I talk to them, be like, okay, this is what I'm recommending. This is the size that you're going to order. They can kind of view it almost like a grocery list, mm-hmm. rather than getting that emotional attachment to the sizing like they would if they were on their own. And they have that, that support, that ability to work with me one-on-one before, they decide to maybe invest in a more long-term package. And I find this is so helpful with people to really get that clarity on their style, to really get that spark and that inspiration to know what brands they can find, that work for the things that they like. And they get, a whole, chunk of time to be able to talk to me about any of their style issues. It's a safe space. I don't judge. I will always give you my honest opinion, but it's always with love. Mm-hmm. And, I'm always happy to do that. And that style consultation call with the discount is already indicated in the link that we'll be sharing. So it'll just be really easy for them to just sign up.
That is fantastic. Thank you for offering that discount as well. That's great.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Well, everybody, please go find her on Instagram. She does amazing work. I know this is one of the biggest hurdles people face, especially when you're dealing with the body image issues. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guest are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, or any other professional information. If you want a professional, you should find one.